I just want to take a few moments into God's word to hopefully encourage you and to inspire you just to open up and allow God to do in you what he wants to do inside of your hearts, inside of the very core of who you are. Obviously, we know what this week represents, this week ahead of us. It's a week of Thanksgiving. It's a week that really helps us sharpen our focus on all the goodness of God and all that he does in and through our lives. We know that we could begin in Genesis and go all the way through to Revelation, and we're going to find scripture after scripture after scripture that talks about God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's love. And we're going to find all of these scriptures that encourage us and inspire us to want to exalt him and worship him and praise him. If we go just into Psalm alone, we're going to find so many. Allow me to read some of those just to kind of get you stirred up a little bit inside. Psalm chapter 7, verse 17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks that is due to his righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. We've gone over a few pages into chapter 9, verse 1. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will recount all of his wonderful deeds that he has placed upon our lives. Chapter 28 says, the Lord is my strength and the Lord is my shield. How many can give testimony to that today? Amen. He's my strength. He's my shield. In him, my heart trusts. I am helped. My heart exalts. And with my song, I will give thanks and I will give praise to him. Psalms chapter 30, verse 4 says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. Chapter 54, with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for you are good. Chapter 69, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with my thanksgiving. Psalm 75, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. How many of you know it's important that from each generation to the next generation, we pass on what it is to praise and worship the Lord and have a gratitude inside of our spirits? Psalm 86 says, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. I'm going to glorify your name forever. Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and good to sing praises to his name, for he is most high. Chapter 95, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise. How many of you have made a joyful noise here today? Amen. Hey, don't worry if you can't sing on tune. Just make a joyful noise, all right? Make a joyful noise. You go to Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Again, make known his deeds among the people. 106, 107 tells us to praise the Lord, give thanks to him, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. 111 says, praise the Lord, give thanks with your whole heart, your whole being, in the company of the upright and of the congregation. Boy, it's important for us coming together, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul just kind of wraps it all up. David gives us all these beautiful songs of thanksgiving. Paul kind of wraps it up with this statement when he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, church, without question here on this Sunday morning, we know that each day should be filled with gratefulness and thanksgiving because of the goodness of God that has been constant in our lives. This morning, don't we always have reason to praise him? Every single day when you wake up, don't you have reason to praise him? Throughout the day, isn't it good just to stop for a moment and to give him praise? You have ever been just strolling down the grocery store and you stop for a moment and you said, God, only because of you, I have what I have. Only because of you, I have my family, I have my home. Mostly, I have my salvation. I have the love of God that's inside of me and the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, it's good to give thanks. You go to chapters in Psalm like 103, and you're going to read that we are forgiven and we are healed and that we are redeemed and that we have been satisfied with the good things of God. And it even goes on to tell us that we have been renewed within, that we have been renewed spiritually, physically, and also emotionally. Yes, I have reason to give thanks to my God. I can go to Psalm 107. It's going to tell us to give thanks because he has delivered us from those wilderness moments, from those dry and barren places. You ever been in a dry and barren place? thank God that he is with us in every single one of those moments. Sometimes we feel isolated there. We feel all alone. But let me just tell you, you're not alone. Perhaps that's where you can feel God at his greatest, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to get out of those dry seasons of life. That's what the psalm tells us. It also goes on to tell us he's freed us from all that bondage of sin, all of our past, all of our failures, all of those things that have so easily got us all tangled up and tripping over ourselves. God has freed us from that. Even that self-afflicted oppression, God has freed us from that through the power of Jesus Christ. The psalm also tells us that we're to give thanks because he's healed us and he's restored us in every area of our life, and he has safely brought us through every single storm. So yes, church, giving thanks should be a significant part of every believer's life. But you see, I believe it goes beyond just our words. Even though it's important to give our praise, it's important to recite our prayers, it's important to sing our songs, it is important to vocally give that praise and that thanksgiving to God. This week, you're going to sit around in your dining room or wherever it may be, and you're going to give thanks. And it is certainly good to vocalize with your words the goodness of God and how precious he is to you and how much you are appreciative of all that he is doing in and through your life. But I believe our gratefulness has to go beyond just our words. Let me take you just for a few moments to Paul's writing to the church in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3. In chapter 2, verse 6, you'll see him make this statement. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord," it says, "so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught," and it says, "abounding in thanksgiving." Now, that phrase is important. Because when you read this letter, you're going to find all of this practical life application. Paul is speaking to us about what it is to be a new creation, what it is to walk with Christ, what it is to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he talks much about this, but he makes this statement that in all of this, you should be abounding in thanksgiving. You get over to chapter 3. There's 17 verses there, those opening 17 verses. Paul talks about our lives in Christ. And you're going to see, he talks about what we came out of and what we're going into. In the opening verse, in verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." It is always good to start out your day by setting your mind on Christ. Setting your mind on things above, right? So in those next few verses then, he begins to talk to us about what we've been coming out of. He talks about those old set of life clothes that we are to take off. And he gives us a pretty good list of things here, and they're kind of dark, but how many of you know that we've been pulled out of darkness and into the light? So he talks to us and he says, "Hey, you need to put to death some things, things that are earthly inside of you. All of that sexual immorality, because every single one of us deal with it. You need to take that off because Christ is changing you. The Holy Spirit's coming inside of your life. So that sexual immorality, that impurity, those passions, those evil desires, that covetousness, that idolatry." He even goes on to verse 8 and he says, "We need to take off the anger and the wrath and the hatred and the slander and all that coarse joking and all that obscene talk that comes from your mouth and all that lying. Those things are part of your old life. They are no longer, because they don't represent me. They don't represent Jesus. They don't represent the life of the Holy Spirit living within." So all of that through Christ, we're able just to take off. Thank God. Amen. Thank God we have been delivered from such a life. I stand before you and I say, thank God he has freed me from my sins. And those things that were in my life that were a part of this list, there was nothing that I could have done without Jesus to give me victory over those. And he's brought us through those. Then he goes on to tell us in verse number 12, here's what your new life's going to look like. Here's what those new clothes look like. He says, "Put on God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, that kindness, that humility, that meekness, that patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, then forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Then in verse 14, he starts to kind of package it all up and wrap it up. And he says, "Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then let the peace of Christ, we looked at that word before, it's like that umpire in your soul, that's the Holy Spirit guarding you there and guiding you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And notice the phrase there at the end of that, and be thankful. And then you carry on, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and notice again the ending phrase there, and thankfulness in your hearts to God. Put on that character of Christ. Let that peace of God rule inside of you. And as you put on this new life, and as you walk in this new character, and as you have that humility and that compassion and that love and that mercy and that grace, as you have all this change, because it feels really good when Christ begins to change you, right? It feels so good when you start to understand your identity in Christ. And when all of that begins to change inside of you, wrap all of that up with a big old heart of gratitude that says, God, thank you for the work that you're doing inside of my life, because I need you. With his word dwelling rich within you, and his spoken words, and your words with your words of songs, all of that should be filled with thanksgiving. I ask the question, and I already know the answer, should gratefulness be a vital part of our Christian lives each and every day? Absolutely. Now, before Paul finishes, for the third time, he gives us an instruction of giving thanks. And notice how he drives home the significance of doing so. He says in verse number 17, whatever you do in your word or in your deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That leaves no stone unturned, right? In everything, give thanks. Your word and your deeds, your thoughts, the way that you respond to one another, react to one another, love one another, forgiving one another, helping one another, serving one another. Certainly the way you worship and the way you sing, but also the way you go to work and you put your hands to work, and the places you go, and how you operate there in your office or there out in the field, and how you operate there at the house, and how you treat your wife, and how you treat your husband, and how you treat your children and your grandchildren. And even when you pull out that checkbook or when you get online and begin to spend that money, you're giving thanks in all things, right? Because it is God who is guiding you throughout your day. Every good thing from above, right? Even in the storms and in the difficulties, we give him praise. We give him thankfulness because we know at the end of the day, we're going to be okay because he's going to bring us through it. In every season of life, when I'm celebrating, when I've got a big old smile, but also maybe when that smile has shrunk a little bit and the days are harder, maybe the nights are longer because you're a little bit restless and you can't sleep. And maybe there's a little bit of heaviness in which you feel, even in those moments, I'm going to have a grateful heart because I know God is with me. Amen. The statement that really speaks to my heart this morning is this: a grateful heart gives much room for God to work in abundant measure. In your words and in your deeds, I really thought about that, and I want that to sink in just for a moment before the team comes back out. A grateful heart gives expansive room for God to work. How many of you know there's a lot of things that are trying to crowd our heart? And if you're not careful, you'll let this old world beat you down. You'll get some hurt inside of you. You'll get some resentment inside of you. You'll get some bitterness inside of you. You'll get some unforgiveness. Those things will crowd out a grateful heart. You'll get that busyness. You'll get financial worry. You'll get anxiety. Those things will start to weigh you down. And sometimes you can just be so self-consumed about what you want that you've crowded out all the things that God has done and what God is doing. The more room you make for a grateful heart, I believe the more work that God's going to do inside of you. Do not underestimate the power of gratefulness. Don't underestimate what God is doing inside of your life each and every day when you first and foremost recognize Him, give Him glory for who He is, and knowing that He's doing that work inside of your life. I tell you, in this old world today, it is so easy to say we're grateful, yet live in a different way, right? We can say we're grateful, and this Thursday, we're going to do so, right? I am ready for Thursday. I have found someone here in town that smokes turkeys and smokes ham, and I ordered one of each, and I am ready. Tim even said he's bringing me some salted caramel ice cream because he was listening last Sunday. I mean, I am ready. I'm ready. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat. We're going to play games. We're going to watch football. We're going to unbutton the top button of our pants, and we're going to go for round two. Right? I'm ready. I'm ready. But more than anything, what this week does across the nation is it makes people focus on the things that they're grateful for. And as believers, it's just a lifestyle. As believers, it's just a daily lifestyle as we offer our words, our deeds, and everything about us to Him. And we say, God, thank you. Where would we be if God hadn't been working in our lives? What would we do in those moments? Some of those moments that you're dealing with right now that are pretty heavy, how would we do that without God? We would run to a lot of different things, right? I mean, some of the things that I've watched people go through and some of the things I've went through, I can easily see how people will run to substance abuse and relationships and other things because they're trying so hard to put their mind somewhere else. Where would we be without God? He keeps me away from those harmful things. He keeps me away from taking things within my body that are going to literally destroy me. He pulls me away from the bottle. He pulls me away from all that substance abuse. He pulls me away from unhealthy relationships. He pulls me away from those things. Why? Because He wants the best for my life. God, thank you for pulling me away from such things, even when I don't even recognize that's what you're doing. Because the Holy Spirit is so, so good. And just every day, helping us flow with Him. You know, a lot of times, I love the way the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, many times making reference to the water and to the river flowing, because I really feel with the Holy Spirit inside of our lives, daily we're just able to move and just flow with Him. And wow, I'm grateful for that, because I can easily get caught up in myself, right? We know that. I mean, we could talk football here a little bit within 10 minutes or less. I could have you guys going at each other pretty strong because we're so wrapped up in what, you know, what is ours and what's the best. We really want to get wrapped up in 60 seconds or less. Let's talk politics for a few minutes, right? Yeah, let's not. Let's not. We can easily just go there before we even know it. And our day's just moving and our day's just going. And if we've crowded out room for gratefulness, we're missing something that's pretty special. Have you ever read Paul's letters and marked all the times he talks about being thankful and being grateful? Grateful for God, grateful for the Holy Spirit, grateful for the church, grateful for one another. He begins even in some of his letters, he calls them out by name because he's grateful for those relationships God has put in his life. All throughout Paul's letters, you will find a common theme of just a thankful heart. And to me, there's some power in that. There's some power in that.